Now take your Bible and stand up underneath it. Hold it in your hand. Bear witness of God's word. What a testimony. All right, you may be seated. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul speaks here to the church at Corinth. This was his second letter that he wrote to the church at Corinth. Something amazing here. He knew that the church at Corinth had started to fall. They started to get away from God. And here's the reason why. They began to think different ideology. They began to think the things that these false teachers and false preachers were coming in and preaching to them. And then also, they're not unlike us, they began to think that, okay, well, I know that God said this, but society today accepts this or accepts that. So that church was beginning to change with society. Does that ring a bell? Is that happening anywhere around you today? The things that we knew that were wrong 20 years ago, all of a sudden, well, it's almost a debate. Are they really wrong? And so society is giving you another view of this, and this is what was happening there. And so as we read this, understand he gives us the key. I mean, a huge key here to be able to keep ourselves from being able to drift in to that mediocrity, to be able to have fellowship with God and to have the peace and blessings that God wants us to have. I want to read to you beginning in verses 3, and I want to read to you what he's writing. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again. As he is Christ, even so we are Christ." So Paul writes this, and understand a couple of things just in this little snippet of Scripture. He begins to tell us that we do not war, or we don't battle against these physical or carnal things. How many people have had a rough spot in this week? Maybe a rough spot in this month, or maybe one that happened in the past year, and you felt like life was a battle. What he's trying to tell you is you're not battling a physical thing. There's not somebody waiting outside of your front door to punch you in the face before you start your day. You don't have to overcome and run this decathlon in order to get to where you're going. It's not a physical thing. He's saying that we're not warring in a carnal or a physical thing. We're not warring after the flesh. He says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So understand a stronghold. That's the word that we see in the King James, is basically that's like a prison, a fortress. And do you know that there are things in this life that keep us locked up in bondage? Do you realize that? Things that we live under the bondage of, whether it be finances, whether it be relationship, whether it be a health thing, whether it be something that's in our life that's a sin that we can't forget, or a sin that we keep doing, a repetitive sin, or something that we don't think anybody knows, but we know it, or something that we know that every time we do, it just keeps us from being in fellowship with God. So instead of living locked up with God as Christians, we live under the bondage of this thing. When you live under the bondage of anything, it's discouraging, isn't it? He goes on and says in the next verse, and this is key. Listen to verse 5. He says, in bringing into captivity, I thought we were trying to get out of bondage. He says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, hold on a second. What do you think with? You think with your fingers? You think with your ears? What do you think with? Think with your mind. We're going to talk about our mind today. Ooh, right? One of the weakest areas in our body, right? He says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So God is saying, if you want peace, if you want blessings, then you need to step out of the bondage of what has your mind and bring your mind, your thought life, into the obedience and captivity of God. If God has you captive in your mind, you're going to be blessed. Amen. You're going to have peace. You're going to have joy. Does it mean you're not going to have any problems? Absolutely not. It just means that you'll be able to go through your problems differently. You'll be able to go through your problems with peace and with hope.
That's right.
Is anything discouraging or depressing about hope?
No.
No, listen, I want us to understand the difference of the things that we have availability to today. So as we read this, understand he gets to chapter 11. I think this is the verse we have to read also. Chapter 11, next page over. Paul's basically expressing a fear. He says, verse 3, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is Christ." Listen to his real fear. Basically, Paul is saying, I'm afraid that just like Eve was deceived by the devil as the serpent, that your minds can somehow be led astray from the sincere and pure devotion that you need to have to Christ. That's a real fear. Well, it's not if you've never drifted away from Christ. So I speak to Christians today. First of all, this probably is not going to apply to you if you've always been right there with God ever since you came. There's never been a time you've drifted away. There's never been a time that your mind has left the presence of God and drifted into what you wanted it to be on. Is anybody here guilty of your mind wandering away from God? Amen. Raise your hand if you are. Well, then the sermon should be pretty applicable, right? That's right. Now, understand if you're here today and you're not absolutely sure that you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then your mind, there's a battle against your mind to keep your mind from ever picking up and seeing a desire to even come to the fellowship of God. It's a real battle going on. It's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. So let me start by asking you a question today. How many of you have ever heard the old saying, don't believe everything you hear? Anybody ever heard that saying? How many people have heard it 100 times? Maybe you've said it. Don't believe everything you hear. How many people believe that? All right. How many people are afraid to raise your hand because you think it's a trick question? Today, I want us to go a step further. I think we should have a different question. Instead of saying, don't believe everything that you hear, we should have a different saying that can help us even more. Because I think this is what's really true. Because I don't think we believe everything we hear, but this is what I think we should say. Don't believe everything you think. Now, I'm going to get a little philosophical with you today. I don't want to get too deep, but I want you to understand the way our mind works. As long as I say, don't believe everything you hear, guess what? That puts anything false on you or you or you. It puts anything false on whoever I hear it from, right? When I say, don't believe everything you hear, I can say that because that means somebody else is guilty of giving me false information, right? Not me. But when I say, don't believe everything that I think, who's that put it back on? On me. You can spend your whole life pointing the finger at somebody else, but I think it helps me to say, don't believe everything I think. Unless you're somebody here that's never thought the wrong thing. Any of those here, we're going to let you preach. Right? You see, I want to explain this and as simply as I can. I hope it's not complicated. You see, hearing something that's a lie or something that's false information or something that causes us to react in a bad way or something that tells us that it's okay to do something wrong. Hearing those things do not cause us to do wrong. Hearing them do not cause us to make wrong decisions. It's when we begin to hear and then think that the thing that we have heard is true. And then act upon that thought. Well, that's when we get off track and that's when we do the wrong thing. You see, our actions are based on how we think, not what we hear. I remember back in the day, there was a comedian called Flip Wilson. Anybody ever? And his big line was, you know, the devil made me do it, right? Right? The devil's never made us do anything.
That's right.
Right? And nobody else ever made you. It's not what you hear that makes you do it. It's the action, right? So, let's get this right. We act on what we think. We think on what we hear. Does that make sense? Do you realize that we can be completely by ourselves with no other people around, no books, no media, no television, no computer, no phone, completely alone, and still think things that are wrong? You ever thought about that? Somebody always says, oh, it's that crowd that he was hanging out with. Listen, I never needed a crowd. Right?
Come on now.
I could think the wrong thing all by myself. Couldn't you?
Come on.
What I want to show you today is that when we ask the question, why is that? How can we think things when we're by ourselves that are wrong? The reason is our mind is never alone. Your mind, my mind, is never alone. There are two voices that have the ability to speak to our mind. They can speak to them when our mind is completely alone. They can speak to them when our mind is around other people. These two voices are the voice of God and the voice of the devil. They're real. We can go casually through life and not want to accept that, but man's been given this unique ability or unique gift by God, and it's called free will. Free will means that you have the ability to choose. Now, you can't choose unless there's a good and a bad. There would be no choice, right? So when people say, why does God allow the devil? Because God allows you to choose. It would be no good if you were to choose God and there was no option. What would that prove to God, right? If I was the last man on earth, I could say I'm the most handsome man on earth. Well, why? Because there was no other choice. Understand, God gives us a choice. Always. He's always given man a choice. He gives me a choice, you a choice. That's why he allows this other voice to be able to speak to us. They both want us to hear. They both want us to think. And they both want us to act upon what we think. But we will never act upon either one of these voices until we accept in our minds that it is what we think. Now listen. That voice can speak to me all day, the voice of God. And the voice of the devil could speak to me all day, but I will never act upon what they say until I begin to own that thought. Now get this. When you hear something, the thought of you hearing or the sound of you hearing doesn't make you do it. When you make it yours and you say, that's what I'll do, then's when you've began to think like the voice told you you should think. Does that make sense? When the thought becomes yours and you own it, you sin. This happens every single time any one of us has sinned. It's happened every time we've told a lie. It's happened every time that we've decided, hey, we don't want to go and worship. This thing is more important than worship. It happens every time that a man stands in front of a woman that's not his wife and all of a sudden the opportunity is there and he makes a decision to be unfaithful to his wife. That thought happens. He accepts that. It happens every time that a wife decides to do that to her husband. It happens every time that somebody decides to look on the paper beside of them and cheat. There is a voice. I'm saying any sin, big or little, it's a voice that comes to us that says, here's what I want to tell you. Then our mind takes it and says, we think like that too. Act upon it. That's basically the model of sin. They both want us to hear. They both want us to think. They both want us to act upon what we think. All of our actions, good or bad, are based upon what we think. Whether we go along with somebody else, we're by ourselves, anytime we've sinned against God, anytime we've done something, that action's it's a product of what we think we should do. Now, we can't always control what we hear, can we? I can't. Who knows where I'm going to walk somewhere and hear something? You know as well as I do, when you cut on the news, you might hear something that you don't want to hear. You're watching the news. You might be around somebody. I can't control everything that I hear. But Paul is saying here, you have an option. You can control what you think. You can put things in place to help you control what you think. Listen, my desire is that every young person here today listens to what I'm getting ready to tell you, because this will happen to you the second, the minute, the hour before you have a chance to commit fornication with some other young person outside of the marriage vow. This will happen to every man and woman the second, the hour, the minute before you have a chance to be unfaithful to your spouse. It will happen to every single person the second, the minute before you have a chance to lie to somebody. You have a chance to do something that you know. You have a chance to steal. You have a chance to cheat. You have a chance to just not do something that God wants you to do. This will happen. That's why I'm pleading for you today. Listen, there's something we can put in place. Paul says we need to be able to hold our minds captive to God. And if what we think is based on what we hear, and we know that no matter where we are, we're going to have these two voices that speak to us in order to convince us to think a certain way and then act upon what we think, we better know which voice is the right voice to listen to, right? Amen. What if you don't know which voice to listen to? You see, we better know which voice is God and which voice is the devil. So we need a simple phrase to apply when we hear that thought that comes into our mind. That thought that tells us to do something. Before we decide what to think and act upon what we think, we simply need to ask a certain thing. Today, I want to give you a phrase. A phrase that you can implant in your mind. A phrase that, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit will help to guide you. Are you interested? Several weeks ago, we used this same kind of phrase whenever we get discouraged or we think everything's stacked against us or everything's going to pieces. And I showed you my cup and we had a new phrase. What was our phrase? Yet I can overcome, right? Yet I can do this. Today, I want to give you another phrase. When you're trying to determine which voice is who, whether it's God or the devil, how about a simple phrase that governs your mind that says, who said that? Say that with me. Turn to the person beside of you, furrow your brow like this and say, who said that? Who said that? Say it again. It sounds simple. It sounds silly. Do you know that if I look back on my life as a Christian, if I could have applied that one phrase with the knowledge that God's given me to use it, all the blessings that I could have received from God and the punishment that I could have avoided. Amen. I'm here to tell you today, the simple thing we fail to do when our mind is led a certain way is to be able to grade it against what God says and say to ourselves, who said that? Do you know that if we learn the characteristics of God and the devil both, then we'll be able to distinguish the difference in their voices when we hear them? We won't have to stop verbally. You say, well, you mean every time I have a thought, I need to stop and say, who said that? No, I'm saying you can program it. The Holy Spirit wants to help you program it. Amen. God wants you to stay in fellowship with Him, so He'll help you with this. Amen. I mean, think about it really. If you could determine that Satan was the one that was trying to make you think a certain way, and you know that his job is to destroy you, would you listen to him and think the way that he wants you to think and act upon it? Would you? So our first line of defense is to think, who said that? And that's what we would do if it was someone that we knew wanted us to fail, right? If you knew there was somebody that was against you and wanted you to fail, and they said, hey, listen, here's what you need to do, what would you think in your mind? Well, look who's saying that to me. Right? Why can't we apply that to the voices that speak to us no matter if we're alone? Now, both the voice of God and the voice of the devil will speak to each of us, and they'll both give us direction to do something or not do something, but what we need to understand is that God and Satan will never agree with each other. They want totally different things. The voice of God and the voice of Satan are always going to be competing for our attention. They're going to be competing for our obedience. And unless we want the devil to win, we need to be able to think, who said that? And then act upon only what God says. In order to determine who said that, well, we need to look at what the Bible says the difference is in the way that God speaks and the devil speaks. You know, they speak in two totally different ways. And that way is diversified. I want to be able to show you today, hey, when you leave here, if you understand God's word, you should be able to say, hey, that's not God telling me to do that. Do you realize what a defense that will be for getting out of the will of God, staying in the will of God, and receiving the blessings of God? I'm excited about it. I hope you are, right?
Amen.
I need it. So whether you need it or not, I'm psyched about finding it because, listen, I need to apply this. Maybe none of you ever battle with spiritual warfare. Maybe if you don't hear the two voices, right? If you're not hearing two voices, then you really need some help because if you don't hear two voices, you're always going to hear one and it ain't going to be God's, right? I mean, we've heard the devil speak in Scripture three times. You say, really? It had to be more than that. Listen, we're told about the devil. There's a lot written about him, but God doesn't really give him press in the Bible. He gets to speak three times. First time in Genesis chapter 3. He spoke the very first time to Eve. You know, Paul alluded to that. He said, as the serpent beguiled Eve, he deceived Eve. He spoke to Eve these first words, and he directed these first words at mankind. Pretty neat. Think about it. His first words were to Eve, and the results of those first words were that Eve doubted God's word. Didn't God tell her, don't eat of that tree? I will bless you. When Satan was through finished talking to her, well, she doubted God. Satan said he didn't really mean that. He just didn't want you to do that. She doubted God. She told Adam. He had to doubt. Sin came into the world, right? Who was the one that spoke to them? It was the devil. I mean, think about it. Whenever they were hiding in the garden and God said, why are you hiding? They say, we're naked. God said, who told you? They've been talking to the wrong person, listening to the wrong person, right?
That's right.
So the devil's first speech basically was to get man to doubt God. The next time we see the devil, we see him in Job chapter 1. And in Job chapter 1, we read about a man named Job that was righteous before God, this man that was blessed before God. And we read about Satan standing in front of God, accusing Job and saying, he's not really who you think he is, God. If you took your blessings away from Job, if you took your hedge protection away from Job, if he didn't have all these things he has, he would curse you and he would die. So the second thing that we see that the devil was trying to do was, get this, he was trying to get God to doubt man. Have you ever thought about that? Try to get man to doubt God, then God to doubt man. And then the third time we see him speak is, well, it's in the book of Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. Jesus goes into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the devil speaks to him, and he even uses Scripture and speaks to him and tells him, after 40 days of not having anything to eat, I know you're hungry. I know your body's weak. I'm going to come to you and tell you that, listen, you can make these stones into bread. Decree it out here. Whether God says you can or not right now, do it. He says, I'll give you food. I'll give you power. I'll give you possessions. Jesus had to refuse the devil and use Scripture against him. What was the devil trying to do? He was trying to get Jesus to doubt God. All he tries to do is confuse us and get us to doubt things, because when you doubt anything, you're not going to be confident in it. And if he can get a child of God doubting God, you're virtually useless until you get back your mind under the captivity of God. Now, when I say virtually useless, you may disagree. I don't mean to make a derogatory statement. I'm saying while you're separated from God, while you're out of fellowship with God, while you're listening to the devil, you're not going to do God. You're not going to be of any use to God. Now, he can let things happen even through your sin, and God can make those things happen, but you're not going to be glorifying God in anything that you do. You see, the Bible tells us if we listen and obey God's voice, then we'll come into fellowship with God and we'll stay in fellowship with God. The Bible tells us that if we listen and obey the voice of the devil, then we'll not be in fellowship with God or stay in fellowship with God. That's pretty simple, right? If they are both speaking to us, how can we know the difference when we're compelled to do something or not do something How can we know which voice is saying to do what? That's the big question, right? We think sometimes as Christians that the simple answer is to say, well, if it's in the Bible, then we know God said it. We know that it's true. I agree. But we would have to know the Bible, right? What I'm talking about today is our everyday situations, our impulse decisions. You know that time when you just decide to sin. Oh, it'll be all right. Oh, it'll feel good. I don't need to do that. Somebody else will do it. You ever been there? Daily? There's a battle going on. We make decisions every day based on what we feel led and how we feel led to make those decisions. We have reoccurring thoughts that come to us that can give us peace or make us anxious. These thoughts are the result of our leading by these voices of either God or the devil. There's no doubt there's people that I'm speaking to today, either that are here or listening by way of radio or the CD ministry. Maybe you're online listening to this. Understand that there's no mistake that you're in bondage to that worryful life that you're in. Every day is an anxious worry and a fear that something's going to happen. You're in bondage to something that happened a long time ago, maybe. Or you're in bondage to how inadequate you think you are to God, so you just decide, I'm not going to be adequate at all. Are you in bondage to something that the devil has convinced you is more important than God right now? And you're holding it under the umbrella of saying, well, you know, this is for my children, or this is for my family, or this is for my income, and you're in bondage to that. What I'm saying is, it separated you from God. Every Christian listening today can probably say, I've made the wrong decision about something, or I did something that I thought I should do, but it turned out really bad and I didn't feel it was wrong at the time I did it, but then clearly I knew it was wrong after I did it. Anybody ever, that ever happened to you? All these things happen when we listen to the wrong voice, so I think we should concentrate on how we can know who it is that's leading us to do something. So we need to be sure that we can answer the question, who said that? Who said that? The reason that we sin and separate ourselves from God so many times is because we just don't ask that question. Sometimes we don't want to ask that question. The devil leads us to do something that our body really wants to do. Why ask the question? Right? Can you imagine? If you ask that question and you realize that this is God or this is the devil, can you imagine the difference in the peace in your life knowing that you're pleasing God? It'd be amazing. If anybody's interested, are you interested?
Amen.
Well, why would we need to do this? Well, we go back to how we started. Because you can't believe everything that you hear and you can't believe everything that you think. Right? So you need to be able to say who said that. So how can we bring our thought into captivity? How can we bring our thought life into the obedience of God? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I've got several different points here that I think, well, they help me tremendously. I've been working on them for a while, and I want to give them to you today so that you can be able to take this away from here. I will guarantee you, if you can apply this, you will see a difference in your life. Interested? Number one, the first thing that you have to realize is that God and the devil have a different agenda. They have a different agenda for us. If you really knew there was a difference in the person that was giving you the information, the intentions they had for you, wouldn't it make a difference in how you react to that person? John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, Jesus speaks. This is Jesus. In verses 3 through 5, listen to what he's saying. Now, Jesus is saying, I'm the shepherd of the flock, right? You are the what?
Sheep.
Let me hear you sound like sheep. He's the shepherd, we're the sheep. There you go. That's enough. Now, what he's telling us is that he's the shepherd, but there's going to be an imposter that comes in. There's going to be an impersonator that comes in. There's going to be a stranger that comes in. There's going to be somebody that comes in and wants to do the flock harm. Listen, verse 3 through 5. He says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. Listen, for they know his what? Amen. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not what? The voice of the strangers. Pretty clear message to us today, right? Who in their right mind would follow the voice of someone who meant to do them harm? Let me tell you who. We do. You know why? Because we don't ask the simple question when the thought comes to our mind, who said that? Now he goes on in verses 10, and he tells us that the devil and him have a different agenda. Verse 10, he says, the thief is the devil. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. What would you choose? And that's what Jesus is saying. There's two different voices. He's an imposter. You can't follow his voice in your right mind. We talk a lot about the voice of God and what he says we should do or not do, but I don't think we talk enough about identifying the voice of Satan. You say, well, I don't think church is the right place to talk about Satan. I do. I think we don't talk enough about him. I think that he is that imposter. And if you don't recognize the way he's going to attack you, then you're leaving all this advice God's given you on the table. In the Bible, God refers to Satan as the destroyer, the liar, the accuser, the tempter. And in Matthew 13, Jesus called the devil the enemy. How many people want to take advice from your enemy? Well, surely we don't, right? Because our enemy wants us to what?
Fail.
Wants us to fail. Jesus said he was the enemy. He's the enemy of God because he speaks to those who are not saved, tries to convince them to doubt God. He speaks to those who are saved and tries to convince them to doubt God. And his ultimate agenda is to keep every person from accepting God's salvation through Jesus and keep them from coming into fellowship with God. Do you know that if you're here today, you're not absolutely sure that you're saved? His agenda today will be to keep you from getting saved today. His agenda tomorrow will be to keep you from getting saved tomorrow, because he knows once you accept the blood of Jesus Christ and he pays for your sins, you accept that blood to cover your sins, he can't get you anymore. He wants you to spend eternity in hell, the bottomless pit, with him. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. That's what the devil wants.
Come on now.
And Jesus wants to give you life, and life more abundantly. So the devil's job for you, if you know, you're here today and you know you're not saved, or you think you might not be saved, he would rather just keep you thinking, oh, maybe I am, maybe I am. Because as long as he can keep you unsure, that's fine with him. As long as you're unsure, that's fine with him, because you're still doubting. And then if you accept the salvation of Jesus, the devil has a different agenda from you. He wants to keep you from staying in fellowship with God. So he's going to come into our minds, and he's going to make us doubt God and be able to have sin in our life that's going to separate us from God. He's going to speak to us the way the enemy would speak, right? Why? He wants to separate you from God. He's going to tell you not to come into here. Come to church when you feel like it. Make sure you get a little bit, but there's no need to be faithful. You don't need to read your Bible. You don't need to pray. You know that you've got salvation. You're good to go. And listen, you don't have to be like all those other people. I mean, you can just coast through this. There's other things right now that you need to pay attention to. And he's going to keep you that way. That's the way the devil wants to keep us. 1 Peter 5 describes our enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We're told in verse 8 to be sober and vigilant, which means to be clear-minded and alert, because our enemy is after us, our adversary. It's a pretty big deal. How many of you would let the enemy into your house? You love the children that you have? You love your marriage? We wouldn't let the enemy in to attack us, right? He's the enemy. When we entertain what he says, when we hear what he says and entertain it, it becomes our thought, you are letting the enemy into your mind. You're acting upon that thought. Your mind becomes in bondage to the sin that's keeping you from fellowship to God. You say, is it that big a deal? It really is. He tells us to be sober and vigilant. He means be clear-minded and alert. Why? Because it can happen so quickly. It can happen walking down the street and everything is fine and the devil wants to be able to control our mind, and we're walking down the street and I'm holding the hand of my wife and we're walking here and I've been so in love, and then all of a sudden then the devil can cause my mind to think, man, she looked at me with that look, right? And all of a sudden my mind goes here and I got to bring it back in. You say, well, pastor, the devil doesn't ever tempt you. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? He wants me to fail. He wants you to fail. He's my enemy. Immediately, in a split second, in the moment, there's got to be a device inside of my mind. See, it's not wrong for me to be tempted. It's wrong for me to yield to temptation. It's wrong for me to give in to temptation. Jesus was tempted. So something in my mind immediately has got to say, who said that? That's the enemy. Don't think that. Right? That quick. Who said that? That's the enemy. Don't think that. Who said that? He's out to destroy you. Don't think that. Boom. It happens that quick. I'm not talking about stopping and said, wonder who's saying that to my mind. By that time, sin's happened. Right? I'm saying it's an internal device that the Holy Spirit will help you to have. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 that we need to recognize that the devil is our enemy, that he has a plan against us, and that we have to battle against him every day. He tells us that we have to put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand against the schemes, the wiles, the plans of the devil. Do you know that the devil has a distinct plan to destroy you today? Have you thought about that? You woke up today and said, I'm going to sashay my way through life, tiptoe through the tulips. The devil is saying, what can I do to him today? He has a plan for you to destroy you. That's how real it is. We don't preach enough about the devil. He's out to get you.
That's right.
And you don't have to be around me, and I don't have to be around you. I can be by myself, and he'll get right in here. The book of John chapter 8 tells us something else about the devil. It tells us that the devil's a liar. I'm not painting a pretty picture for the devil today, Emma. Verse 44 says that there is no truth in him, words of Jesus. That when he speaketh a lie. And that he is not only a liar, get this, he's the father of lies.
Amen.
What does that mean? The father of lies. That means that all lies originate from the devil. The father of something means the beginning of something, right? All lies originate from the devil. Our lies originate from Satan. We lie because he's convinced us to lie. Any lie that I tell, any lie that you tell, anything that you say that is untruth, it did not come from your mind. It came from his voice that went to your mind. He's the father of lies. That means he is the originator of lies. Whether it's a quick lie that you tell, why did you tell it? It's going to make me sound better if I lie about this certain thing. That's a pride issue. The devil told you to lie about it so you can get people to think a certain way. When you cheat or lie on something, the devil has convinced you it's to your benefit. Before somebody looks from this paper to the next paper over here and cheats in school off of somebody's, the devil has said, hey, take it. Cheat, lie about you doing it, right? Boom, it's a voice. He's the father of lies. He originates every lie that comes in. Every lie in every marriage, every lie between every parent and every child, every lie between any relationship, every lie that's told in this campaign season, every lie is originated from the devil.
Come on now.
Why should we know that? Well, because when he lies to you, you need to be able to say what?
Who said that?
Who right? Unless you want to be lied to. So we need to listen to how the voice is speaking to us, and then basically be able to determine how we think or act based on the characteristics of God and the characteristics of the devil. So I put some points in place here that these are just common sense points. It's nothing that's a big deal. It's just things that I've noticed as a Christian and the Bible backs up. So hopefully you can be able to use these. I think it'll be crucial in us being able to determine who it is that's saying it to us, right? Number one, the difference in the way the devil speaks. I'm talking about how he speaks to you. Would you like to know how to determine these voices? Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of times I thought I was doing something and I realized God wasn't telling me to do that, right? First of all, God speaks to us deep within our spirit. The devil speaks within our mind. What do you mean? If we're saved, God occupies our innermost being, our soul, our spirit. And the Bible tells us that God and Satan, they can't both have a residence in the same place.
That's right.
1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit." Verse 19 says, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have, and you are not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, what does this mean? You say, why would you even bring this up? Well, because the simple thought, there can't be these two people living in the same house. In other words, God is basically the one that walks in and says, one of us is going to have to go, right? We're not both going to stay here, right?
Come on.
So how does this apply? How can this help me? Well, here's how. Consider this. If we're saved, if you've accepted the Lord as your Savior and you're battling with a thought, I mean, it's something you think you want to do. You thought it was sin. Maybe it's not sin now. Maybe you think, well, listen, nobody else understands, and I just think I should be able to do this. Or, hey, listen, if I get the opportunity, I might do this, or I should stop this or start this, or maybe I should be this way. But it's a thought that keeps on battling and battling. Pay attention to that. Why? Because all that is the battle over residence in your mind. When you see that happening, not a thought that's just like, yep, I'll do it, let's go. I'm talking about something that you're struggling over. What's that struggle all about? It's about the internal battle. See, somebody's in the house that shouldn't be in the house. They're trying to convict you to do something that the Spirit's not trying to convict you to. It's a battle. When that battle's going on, you need to put your antenna up and say, hey, I need to be alert. Why? Because somebody's trying to tell me something wrong here. They can't both be saying the right thing. True? Number two, God's voice and the devil's voice are different. God's voice is, well, it's gentle and persuasive. The Bible calls it a small, still voice, right? A small, still voice. What does he mean by that? You know, God's voice is not the voice that is screaming in your face. God's voice is not the voice that is saying, do this, do it now, do it now, do it now. It's not God's voice. He's not over the top. In the book of 1 Kings, we have this vivid example. Elijah the prophet, he was running from God, and he told God, God, I really want to hear from you. And God was going to speak to him in chapter 19. He went up into the mountain, and do you know that while he was in the mountain, a huge wind came through. Then an earthquake came through. Then fire came through. And the Bible tells us in chapter 19 that God was going to speak to him. And Elijah basically said God's voice was not in that strong wind. It was not in that earthquake and it was not in that fire. But then he heard that small, still voice. You know, God's not over the top in your face. God speaks to you in a way that makes sense. He speaks to you in the way a father would take you and not bring you in front of him and scream at you where you turn him off. He takes you under his arm and he says, hey, son, hey, daughter, listen. That's the way God's voice speaks to you. We need to identify because the devil's voice, it's in your face. It's telling you, hey, do it now. Right? God's voice is a voice of peace and control that has a confidence that everything's under control. You tell me, what would a good father do? Would a good father, whenever you're in trouble or when something's bad, would a good father get in your face and be able to say, hey, listen, it's terrible. Everything's gone wrong. Listen, you need to panic. You need to be afraid. No, a good father wouldn't. A good father would say, listen, we're going to work through this. I want you to be calm. I don't want my child to be upset. Do you want yours? And I'm not near as good a father as God is. He has a voice of control. When you hear the Spirit speaking, you a voice of control, not a voice of frantic. Hey, that's the voice of the Spirit, right? You getting this, right? You see the difference? Surely y'all have heard the difference in this now that we bring it up, right? You see, Satan's voice is a voice of panic, despair, demanding immediate reaction. Satan's voice says, oh no, what if this happens? What if this happens and that happens and then this is going to happen? And hey, listen, this is going to be terrible. And all this is going to happen and I'm going to be, oh, this is going to ruin me. Is that the voice of God?
No.
That's the voice of despair. That's the voice of the devil. It's the voice of worry. It's the voice of fear. It makes you not want to be happy about being alive. What if this happens and I'm living anxious? And the Bible says clearly, do not worry. So you think if the Bible would contradict itself, Jesus says, do not worry. No, then his voice that lives inside of you would say the same thing. Listen, do not worry. He wouldn't say, get upset, think about this, stay up. Hey, let this be on your mind. Hey, you can't focus on anything else. It's consuming me. It's consuming me. What if this happens? That's the voice of Satan. Satan wants to have the spirit of worry rule your life because it'll take every bit of your confidence. Your mind will never be focused on what God wants you. It'll always be focused on your worry. And it could be a number of different things that you're worried about. Or he says, basically, when he's tempting you to do something wrong, oh, you can't miss this opportunity. You better do this and you better do it now. Forget what you think you know. Nobody else understands. Young people, listen to me. You're going to have this same voice speak to you when you have an opportunity to defile yourself before marriage and be able to give yourself. When God says, keep yourself until marriage, you're going to have a voice that tells you, don't miss this opportunity now. It's going to feel so good. Hey, give in to it. Everybody else is doing it. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. That voice will be in your face, relentless, telling you, you want it so bad. Don't listen to that voice. It makes you want to do something, spur of the moment, impulse. God's voice is not like that. Satan's voice is also a voice that is a voice of hopelessness, helplessness. All is lost. It's a voice of despair. You know, it's over, Mike. This is it. It's terrible. Look what's happened. You've lost your job or you got this report from the doctor. It's hopeless. That voice is out to discourage you. That voice is out to make you give up, to live in discouragement and depression. That voice wants you to take anything you hear and say, that's terrible. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't even want to live. I don't want to be in this. This is terrible. Look what's happening to me. Everybody else has got something I don't have. I'm disgusted with life. Is that God's voice? God's a voice of hope. God's a voice that says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Does that sound like the same voice? No. There's another red flag to determine which voice is telling you something, right? God's voice is always clear, number five. It gives us clear direction in which way to go. It's distinctive and sure. Satan's voice is a voice of confusion. It's not clear. It's uncertain. We have to put a bunch of maybe ifs with Satan's thoughts. Satan gives me something to do. Immediately, I take it and run with it. Well, yeah, that might work. Maybe if I do this, and maybe if I do this, and maybe if I do this, and before long, I'm way off track, right? God's voice is clear. He says, you see that person? Don't fail to witness to them. Go up and share me with them. God's voice is clear. It says, hey, you know that voice I gave you to sing? Get up in the choir and sing for me. God's voice is clear. It says, what can you do for those children? Go do it for them. God's voice is clear. It says, hey, listen, that's your husband. That's your wife. You pledged your life to them, to be faithful to them. Love them. Love them hard. God's voice is clear. It's not vague. The Bible tells us God's not the author of confusion. And the other thing is, we hear God speak more clearly when we're listening for Him. A way that you can determine and know that the voice that you're going to hear is more likely going to be the devil's voice is when you're not listening for God, when you're not praying to God, when you're not in communication with God. Guess whose voice is going to be more apparent? The devil's voice. If you're in church every now and then hearing the Word of God, if you're not getting fed the Word of God, you might as well think, hey, 9 out of 10 things I hear are going to be voices of the devil. You say, you think that's so? Well, let's see. If you're not reading the Bible like you should, if you're not hearing the preached Word of God, if you're not singing the praises to Him, if you're not praying to Him, we do all that here. If you take yourself out of that, I'll guarantee you, you're on dangerous ground as a Christian. And if both of you are doing it, husband and wife, God help your family. Why? Well, you're getting fed a lot of information that's probably wrong. The enemy is instructing you. Why? You're not seeking God's voice. God says, when you seek me, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't forsake coming. This is where I'm going to be at today. I'm going to speak today here. And the rest of the week, you go out and I'm going to speak to you at different places. But today, reserve this day for me, right? So we hear Him more clearly when we're standing in His presence. The one that I want to close with here is a pretty big deal. You don't want to miss this. Don't turn me off, okay? Please, don't turn me off. If I would have discovered this 25, 30 years ago in my life, my whole life would have changed. I want you to understand this, okay? We need to know that both voices convict us. You say, Pastor Mike, I do not believe the devil convicts me. I want you to see something. God convicts us through the Holy Spirit when we're saved. The devil also convicts us. Do you know that in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 10, the devil is described as the accuser of the brethren? The devil knows when you sin, and he accuses you of it. See if these things sound familiar to you. And based on the premise of the devil accusing us and the Holy Spirit accusing us and why it happens to us. Basically, the devil accuses us of sin to drive us away from God. You say, that doesn't make sense. Well, maybe it will in a minute. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin to draw us to God. Well, why would the devil convict us of our sin to draw us away from God? Basically, the devil does this so that you'll live under a load of guilt and basically say, you know what? I've done this and I've done this and I've done this. I can't live the Christian life. There's something wrong with me. God won't even answer my prayers. Doesn't do me any good to go to church. When you believe these lies, then the devil drives you away from God. He accuses us and convicts us to destroy us. How many people have ever been in that place? I got so bad that I thought, well, going to church today is not going to help me. I've done so many things, so many things in my mind, I don't even know if I can straighten them out. I don't know if I'm worthy to be a Christian or not. I might as well stay away. What good does that help? Anybody ever been there? That's the devil convicting us of sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us to reclaim us. He does this so that He can correct us and bring us back into fellowship with Him. He convicts us so that we can confess it to Him, repent of it, and be forgiven and cleansed of that sin so that we can come back into fellowship and have the fullness of joy. That's why God convicts us to sin. Mike, you did this wrong. I'm going to convict you. Why? Because that wrong, that sin is in between me and you. So I'm going to convict you of it to give you a chance, free will, your choice to say, hey, I acknowledge that it's sin. I know that it's wrong. It's between me and you, God. I confess it to you. I'm sorry I did it. God says, well, since you're sorry and I can see that you're sorry, I'm going to use the blood of Jesus that you claimed those years ago, and I'm going to cover that sin so you can come back into fellowship with me. That's why I convicted you of it in the first place, right? Now, the devil's different. The devil tells us to sin. Has this ever happened to you? He tells us to sin that we can get away with it. And then right after we sin, he accuses us and says, you'll never get away with it. Look what you did. You see, God wants to forgive you of your sin. The devil, he'll tell you that God won't forgive you. As soon as you sin, God's not going to forgive you of that. You're doomed. You might as well keep sinning. That's why the devil convicts you of sin. Mike, think about this sin and that sin and this sin and that sin. You're doomed. You're useless. You see, the Holy Spirit shines light upon our sin, exposes it so that we can confess it, repent of it, and be forgiven. Now consider this. And this is something that gets a lot of us. I counsel people all the time, Christian people, that are discouraged in life, depressed in life. I mean under the bondage of depression. And so many of them have turned to try to seek psychiatric help. Some of them are on medicine to do this and that. And I would tell you something. One of the big reasons for depression and discouragement of Christian people is this. Is that the devil is convicting them in ways and they're listening to him. You say, what do you mean? Well, here's a simple fact for you. Do you know that the Holy Spirit will never convict us of sin that has already been confessed, cleansed, and forgiven? You say, I don't believe that. Okay, I'm going to give you the Word of God. Try this on. Psalms 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. How far is the east from the west? Is that close to you? No. Here's another one, Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Glory to God. That means this thing that's been holding me in bondage for all these years, that thing that I did that the devil keeps bringing back up to me and bringing back up to me to tell me how worthless I am and how bad of a servant of God and how I shouldn't even be serving Him, that thing is not even God convicted me? No, God forgive it. He said, I don't remember it anymore. Why do you keep remembering it? And that old serpent, he's bringing it up to keep you depressed and discouraged, thinking you're nobody. God said, I put it back there. He covered it by the blood, right? Do we ever think that? Hebrews chapter 12, he says it again. Or 10, he says it again. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Thank God. Praise God for His mercy. See, but the devil accuses and continues to convict us of sin that's already been forgiven. He does this to keep us discouraged and in bondage to that sin. He does this to keep us depressed. He does it to keep us ashamed. If you give it to God, you're truly sorry for it. You repented of it. God said, I put it behind you. We need to put it behind us. And tell that serpent when he's speaking to you, that's been covered by the blood. I didn't deserve it, but he did it. You liar, get out of my mind. Right? That way you can step out of your depression. You can get moving forward, right? The Holy Spirit convicts us so that we can confess it, so that we can be forgiven of it, so that we can stop feeling rotten about it. The devil's job for you, Christian, is to keep you feeling rotten about yourself. If you think you're incompetent as a Christian, you're never going to do anything for God. You need to accept that you're incompetent as a Christian. Accept that it's the mercy and the grace of God that's even given you a chance and say, God, I'm going to speak whatever you tell me to speak. Do I deserve it? No. Am I worthy? No. He says, now you're ready to start. Now you're humble enough to start, right? Amen. See, the devil convicts us of sin vaguely also. The devil tells me sometimes, hey, listen, you did this and this and this, and you're preaching? Amen. That's different than the way the Holy Spirit convicts me. The Holy Spirit convicts me specifically. Hey, Mike, remember what you said? Remember what you did? It's specifically. Not this that I'm a sinner in general. I remember Billy Hutchinson. I want to talk about Billy a second. He told me when he got saved, he said something was different. He says, every now and then I'd be out in the shop and a word would fly out of my mouth. He said, when I got saved, I wanted to get it back real quick. That's the easiest way I can explain. He was convicted immediately, right? That just proves the point. God convicts us specifically for things. So do you see all these things tell you how to determine which voice is talking to you? Don't you think we need to be able to implement who said that, right? If every one of us could grab a hold of this and know that what we think determines how we act, and what we think, well, it's a product of what we hear. And we can't believe everything we hear. We can't believe everything we think. But we can monitor it all by using the knowledge of God and being able to ask the Holy Spirit in our heart, hey, please put that device in me to where automatically I say, who said that? And I act upon it, right? I'm not going to let the enemy come in my house. I'm not going to listen to somebody that wants to destroy and steal and kill everything that I've got. If you really believe the devil is who he is and you really believe God is who he is, why wouldn't we want to ask the question, who said that? If you're here today and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the devil's speaking to you today as much as I'm speaking to you. When we have this invitation time, I'm going to ask you, if you're not sure, 100% sure you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, then I'm going to ask you to come and pray. I want to pray with you today. I don't want you to leave here doubting your position with God. Jesus died for you. He shed his blood. He was beaten and mangled, persecuted, so that you could come and have fellowship with God. He wants to take every one of your sins, every one of your sins, and forgive those sins and cleanse those sins so you can come into fellowship with God. And then he wants to walk with you on an everyday basis. Amen? And he invites you, but he knocks on your heart's door. You have to come to him. You have to ask him to forgive you of your sins, repent of those sins, and say, be my Savior. I believe you died for me. You were buried. You rose again. Guess what? The devil today, as much as I'm saying it right now, the devil will be telling you, well, you just do that some other time. Go think about it. Do it some other time. Listen, he knows some other time's not going to come. The Holy Spirit's that other voice you hear right now, and he's saying, come to me, come to me, come to me. You have to make a choice of the voices. All I'm asking you is to say, who said that? If you want to stay with the devil, stay with him. If you want to come to God, come to God. It's your choice. My prayer is that you come to God. For every Christian that's in this room today, you hear what I'm saying, right? It's real, isn't it? How many times do we fail to ask who said that? If you want to have that device installed today, risk-free, for a lifetime, you come and ask God. Get on your knees. Ask God. Tell him you need it. God, let me be aware, alert. Let me be sober and vigilant. Let me be that person who can say that real quick in my mind. Keep me from sin because I want to be in fellowship with you. I want my marriage to be a marriage that has the strength of you. I want my parenting to be parenting that has your direction, your leading. I want my work to be this way. I want my church to be this way. God, please put this in. Keep me from sin. Is it worth it? Amen. Stand with me, will you? Father God, I love you. I praise you. And I thank you for your word today. I thank you, God, that you teach us from your word these things that help us stay close to you. I pray, God, today, as you've spoken to people that are here that have never accepted the salvation that you've offered, and you've spoken, Lord, today to Christians that are here, I pray, God, that during this invitation, that, Lord, you would just quench the voice of the devil from being able to speak. I pray, God, as people make decisions to come to you and ask you for that closeness, Lord, that you instill and install within inside of us, Lord, that ability, Lord, in a split second to say, who said that? God, for people that are here today that have never accepted your salvation, I pray, God, today there's nothing that holds them back from submitting to you and asking you to be their Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.